This is in the beginning. This is Genesis. When you come to Genesis, there's one big thing you have to keep in mind. Now, Moses has got no interest in trying to prove that God exists. Moses is telling us that God is, that God acted. He's not arguing to prove or disprove any scientific view of creation. He is telling us very simply that God created. And Moses' interest is not about science, it's not about biology, it's about history. This book is the beginning of all created things. It's the beginning of God's purpose for all created things. When you come to Genesis 1, 1 and 2, let's read that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that's just a summary statement. That's like the title for the book. For anything else was, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2, he's going to go on and say, well, here's how he did it. The earth was formless and void. It had no form and it was empty. And there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering or moving over the surface of the waters or over the face of the waters. Here's what it would have looked like. There's no light and there's water. In verse 3 it says, God spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And that's all you saw. Light. And then in Genesis 1:4 it said, God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And now you've got this. And very simply, he says that God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And that's day one. And that's it. That's the first day, separating light from dark. That's the first 24-hour period in history. There was no time until he said that. When he said this is day one, that's when time begins. Time exists, and now with light you can see this. And this is water. And this is just water molecules in space. Now what God does, he pulls them all together into one vast sea. But see, it still doesn't have any atmosphere. Then God said, let there be an expanse or a space in the midst of the water, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So he's going to create kind of two bodies of water. And it says in verse 7, God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And so now you have what would look like this. You'd have the water below, but not only that, you've got the water above. I use clouds because that's the only way I can depict water in the sky, because that's what you have now, an atmosphere in between, air that we breathe. It's separated by these two expanses of water. Now, what is a cloud? A cloud is a mist. It's a mist of water. It's water molecules compacted very closely together. And so God calls the expanse here heaven. Heaven in the sense of not heaven where God dwells, but heaven is the air we breathe. Sky, because that's what we call it. That's the space between these two bodies of water. Sky. So there we have the beginning. That's Genesis in the beginning. He's obviously not done, because what's missing? There's no land. Well, he says that in verse 9. He says, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. He's created this dry land, but it doesn't show yet. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water, he now names them seas. And it says, God saw that it was good. So he says, well, now that there's earth, in verse 11, he says, let the earth sprout vegetation, or plants. Plants that are going to yield seed. And the seed is going to yield other plants. And there's fruit trees that are going to bear fruit after their own kind. And it was so. And it says in verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And that was day three. And now we have what we see as our globe, as a round sphere. Because up to this point, until he has gathered the sea, the waters below and the waters above, there's no round ball. It's just a mass of water. Now there's a round ball with ground on it, plants there that have a seed in them, and they're going to reproduce themselves. So what you have here is God creating the first plants, and they're going to recreate themselves. So he's got an ongoing creation. He goes on to the next thing. When he says, let there be, that means bring into existence something that had never been before. So light had never been before. Mass of water in the sky and on the earth had never been before. He created the water. Now he's going to do something different. He's going to say, and God made. He's going to take what he's formed and he's going to fill it. And he's going to fill it in such a way that he's going to give purpose to the things that he's already created. What's the reason to have light? What's the reason to have land? What's the reason to have plants? We're going to kind of move away from reading the text. We're just going to kind of look at the way that God formed the earth and how he fills it. And he fills the water with fish. He fills the air with birds, fills the earth with in the fields with these grasses and these trees, and he then fills the earth with beasts and animals. And one more thing, the most important of all, and that's what we're going to look at now. We're going to look at this in kind of a graphic form. We're going to look at the creation days, 6 24-hour days divided into two parts, the night first and the day second. That's the way the Bible looks at a day. The night is always first. God spoke and made something that never existed before. That's creating. But when he makes something, he now takes and fills that creation with purposeful things. Day one, he creates light. On day four, he creates lights. That's in 1:14. He says, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. Now here, he's talking about the heavens as the outer space. As we wouldn't call this the sky, we'd say, well, this rocket went out of the sky up into space. So he says, let there be lights in the expanse of the space to separate. Here's the purpose. To separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That's time. You're going to be able to mark time. Now the question arises, who's going to be able to mark time? There's nobody yet that cares about time. So he's already planning ahead. And he says, let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. There's another purpose. And God made two great lights, the greater one to govern the day and the lesser one to govern the night, the moon, and the stars. And God put them in the expanse of the heaven to give light on the earth. And major purpose, to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from darkness. God saw that it was good. Next thing he does, we already saw this, he creates water and sky. Well, in the water and sky, he puts fish and birds. And in 20 through 23, he describes the fish and the birds that he puts in the water and the sky. God says, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth. And then God created sea monsters, it says in verse 21, every living creature that moves in the sea, and they swarmed after their kind. That means they're going to reproduce, they're going to recreate. Now, it says in verse 22 that God blessed them. And he blessed them with a commandment to be fruitful and multiply. And fill the waters in the sea, and I want you birds to multiply in the earth. I want you to fill the space. So they're going to have to recreate themselves. And that's the first command. And the first command is a blessing. And he's going to provide the way for them to do that. Then he's going to come to the sea, the land, and the plants. We've already seen that he's done that. The seas, land, and plants, as he's divided the seas from the land. Now, what's he put on that? Animals, reptiles, and the crown of creation, man. So when you look at day three, we've already seen that. Day six, 1:24. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. Now there he's creating the first living creatures. He's speaking this to come forth. Fill the earth with these living creatures. But he's not going to do it. They're going to do it. Because he says, after their kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts. Verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and cattle. Look at 26. It's there that he says, let us make man in our image. Is God talking to himself or who's he talking to now? God the creator, God created the heavens and the earth, and the spirit was what? Hovering over the surface and the face of the water. There's two living beings here. They're saying to each other, but wait a minute. There's another person involved here. As Christians, we believe in another person is involved in this plan, and that is Jesus Christ. They're in a discussion among themselves. Let's make man in our image. Make him like us, something that looks like us, something that is like us, according to our likeness. And here's the purpose for him. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what's man's purpose? To have dominion. And that's a word that is applied to a king. So here you could say Adam is being created as the king. But when it says them, it means there's going to be more than one person. Here you're going to have man, generic, but man is going to be more than one person. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there you have the answer to who's the them. It's a male and a female, mankind. Now it says he blessed them too. Look what he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Now he doesn't say subdue it to the animals and the fish and the birds. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what God had said among himself, he says now directly to man. And he says in verse 29, not only have I given you this command to do this, to be fruitful and multiply, go out and scatter and fill the earth, that's my intent, but I want you to rule over the earth and subdue it, make it your subject. But he says in verse 29, he gives him a promise, that behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed and every tree which has fruit, and it shall be food for you. So I've made you the ruler, and I've provided the food. And he says in verse 30, and he says, to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and to every living thing that moves on the earth, I have given it green plant for food. And it was so. So animals did not eat meat. Because they couldn't eat meat because, you know what? God did not intend anything to die. He just meant it to multiply and to scatter and fill the earth. And look at verse 31. God saw all that he had made. And behold, it's not just good. It's very good. And there was evening and there was morning. It was the sixth day. God's looking back. He could translate like this. Wow. This is all so good. I really like this. So what we have seen here is God created, God made, and now God rests. And that's what chapter 2 starts off, these first three verses. And then the heavens and the earth were completed. It was done. There's nothing left to do. And all their hosts, that's more likely not only a reference to the stars and all of the stars of the universe, but also to the hosts of heavenly angels, which he also created at some point in this span of 7 days. I'm not saying that's absolutely certain. He may have created the angels before this, because there are passages like in Job and the Psalms that seem to indicate that the angels were already there when the earth was formed. And so I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. But at some point before this time, the angels and all the hosts of heaven have been created. And in verse 2 it says, and by the seventh day, you know, all these 6 days have passed. Now, coming up then to the seventh day, God had completed his work, which he had done. Then he rested. And he created a separate day just for himself. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. And you know why he rested? He rested because he was done. There was nothing left for him to do. And he says in verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. So who's the seventh day for? It's for God. For God. He created this day for himself. And then on the eighth day, and the ninth day, and the tenth day, creation's going to continue. But he's not going to add anything more. Creation will continue on creating itself. He's already given the commandments. He's given the blessings. He's provided everything he needs to provide. And so he's going to just let it continue on. There's no more to do. The rest of the work of creation is up to man. See, it doesn't say here, God rested from all his work, and now man can just sit back and rest with him and take it easy and never do another thing. That's not what it says. He left the work now for man to do, because we're going to find in the next chapter that he creates man specifically not just to rule over God's self-replicating creation, but he creates man to be his servant, to tend his creation. And so we'll get to that next week. So our final conclusions in looking at some of this are that God first is the creator. We saw that. The Spirit of God is the energizer. When it says he's hovering over the surface of the deep, over the waters that really have no form, they have no shape, he's hovering, vibrating, like energy vibrating. It's the Holy Spirit providing power that God the Father is going to use to create this whole system. We cannot talk about God the Father and the Holy Spirit without talking about the other person of the Trinity, because these three are inseparable in their purpose and in the way they act. The Son of God is the mediator in all of this. The New Testament tells us that the plan of God is already in place before the foundations of the world. God already knows Jesus is going to go to a cross. So Jesus already has to have a form, an image. I think that's why we look the way we look. We're formed after his image. If you go to John 1, 1 through 3, you have the word, in the beginning was the word. In the book of Genesis, it starts how? In the beginning, God created. Now, in the Greek Old Testament Bible, in Genesis, it's exactly the same word that you find in John 1, 1. John 1, 1 starts exactly the same as the Greek Old Testament Bible starts, the same words. So people coming to read this who are Jewish will come to John's book and read, in the beginning, sounds just like the first book. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now that Word was with God. The word with God there, it's face to face with God. As the Holy Spirit was over the face of the waters, face to face with the waters, face to face with this creation, Jesus Christ himself is face to face with God. And the Word was God. And the verb tense here is was. He was always God. He's forever God. He wasn't created. And all things came into being by him or through him. He's the mediator. He was there on that day. Jesus is always there in Genesis. We just don't see him because Moses doesn't put him in there. But he's always there. In 1:14 it says the most amazing thing. The Word became flesh. He became a man and he dwelt among us. He was God and always was God, but at a point in time he became a man. Colossians 1:15-16. He is the image of the invisible God. Meaning if you want to see God, you have to see Jesus. And he's the firstborn. And that doesn't mean he's born first. He's firstborn in the sense of being the preeminent one of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. All things have been created by him and for him. As the one who is really the controller of this world, and really Adam is serving him. And Jesus was there in the beginning, as I said, and he's holding it together for us right now. Genesis 2, we're going to come to that. We're going to say Adam is servant. And God just didn't wind up the clock and let it go and say, okay, Adam, you're on your own. No, he's a servant under God's care. God's careful watch. God's careful provision. And that's what we'll see next week. How did God provide for Adam? How gracious is he? Very gracious.